You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1. Registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of Integrated Partners, a registered investment advisor, or 2. Solely investment advisor representatives of Integrated Partners, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through Integrated Partners, a registered investment advisor. Integrated Partners and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of Integrated Partners and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
WTCM News Talk 580, and welcome to New Retirement Radio. It's Prout Financial Design, live in the studio, Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
Here we go, live and in the flesh, baby. Well, it's great to be here on Thursday, June 5th. June is busting out all over. You know, I take a digression here. Surprise, Dennis does a rabbit trail. It's great to be here. I am Dennis Prout, and we are talking about finance here this morning, but we have these irises in the backyard. I thought we were talking about money. No, well, not yet. Jeepers. So that rain that we got the last couple of days,
yes,
just beautiful. Well, these things went from very boring, nondescript, about a foot and a half long, to now 2 feet plus.
Like bamboo.
With these gouache flowers, these irises hanging up on top. It's like, what happened? You know? It's summertime.
Nature.
Summertime.
What a concept.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone
yes.
wants to make an appearance.
I love seeing all the flowers. I love driving in every morning and seeing all the new flowers along the side of the road.
Monday, out taking a walk, minding my own business, and the smell from the flowers is so beautiful, literally. Pull off the road. Oh, my gosh, that lilac there. You know, just put your nose in that and watch it send your brain into overtime.
Look at the lilac over there.
They're over there.
All the colors.
In the winter. Well, if you have a question of a financial nature that you're just begging to have answered, we need some help with this answer, perhaps. We'd love to give it a shot. Our phone number, if you would, Ron, is...
You can phone that in or text it into us, 231 area code 947-0023, 947-0023.
Now, you probably heard the voices in the background. This shouldn't necessarily be in the background. That is Heidi Cartwright, our own RACP and Managing Director. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning. I'm sorry. Maybe I got us out of order, but it's my pleasure to be here this morning. Looking forward to a good show today.
Mm-hmm. You bet. Me too. Ann Beth Shire over there, our captain of marketing here at Prout.
Good morning, Dennis. It's great to be here. Welcome, all you listeners. We love having you.
Amen. So today we have a lot to discuss in terms of the economy. And before we get into that, something akin to it, just reflecting on some conversation we had with a major mutual fund provider complex here in these good old United States of America, reflecting on the enthusiasm and the excitement of these individuals. They recently launched the most popular exchange-traded fund group ever, and the changes that are going on within the industry, driving costs down, providing more options to investors, providing more diversification potential, was just the enthusiasm, the excitement was almost uncontained by these people. And we've known, I'll just call him Steve because that's his first name, for a long time. And I've not seen him this excited ever. I would say, 15 years? It was very interesting reflecting on that conversation and what we can all avail ourselves of in terms of expanding our horizons, driving down costs, and over time, I have to be careful on the compliance side, hopefully we'll say it this way, driving our returns ever higher with lower volatility. So it's a wonderful combination, not guaranteed by any means, just to make certain that the compliance people are okay with what I just said on the radio.
But it is exciting to go over new opportunities out there to explore different ways to meet different people's goals and what they want to support and invest in and all their interests. So it's exciting to see these new things come out.
It's amazing how many more tools are in our tool bag, even in the last 5 years, and how it gives all of us a greater ability to answer the call to figure out, how am I going to retire? What's that going to look like? Or how do I continue to grow it as responsibly as I can, given the realities of today's markets? So a part of this is looking at the economic part of life, and this is some interesting information from Dr. Ed Yardini, quoted by our own economist, that I thought was really helpful in shedding some light on things that perhaps some information you haven't heard to date. Dr. Ed Yardini is a kind of Super Bowl, and he's been right about many others, while many others, rather, were wrong. He began writing about what he calls the roaring 20s very early on and has remained consistent. We'll call this the roaring 2020s, okay? Even when his analysis says caution might be prudent, his long-term view is still very bullish or positive. So, full disclosure. The primary reason for this bullishness is simple. Consumer spending is strong, and Ed thinks it will remain so. He says there's a tendency to view the consumer as one entity who all behave the same, but that's not the case.
So true.
Isn't it? Yeah. There are different age consumers and consumers with different income and wealth profiles. For instance, the household sector has never, ever been richer. He's rich. He can't help it. It collectively has $160 trillion in net worth. That's over four times the current debt, Ron, the current government debt. Isn't that something?
Yeah, I think Kudlow pointed that out last week, was saying don't be too concerned about a $37 trillion debt, because total, as you just said, net
wealth,
is $160 trillion.
Yeah.
But still no excuse to keep overspending.
Correct.
In my humble opinion.
Well, given the growth that we might experience from the package, obviously they're trying to grow us out of it, but in terms of cutting spending, that seems to be a non sequitur with our Congress people. We know that half of that is held by baby boomers. Half of it is held by baby boomers. That was really interesting to see. They're sitting on a lot of net worth, and they're going to be careful about how they spend it because they don't know how long they're going to live. On the other hand, in caps, they are going to spend it.
Correct.
And that's what we're seeing. The average withdrawal rate of our clients, of all of our clients, 4%.
Really?
Right on, 4%.
Wow.
Of all the assets held at Prout Financial Design, given that we process the monthly withdrawals and all the rest, it's right at 4. Hmm. What a bunch of nerds. I think we're going to see a negative savings rate for the overall economy as retiring baby boomers spend more and more of their retirement nest eggs. Many boomers are already handing down assets to younger generations, right on both counts. Dennis confirms it. That's what I'm seeing clients do.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Taking advantage of gifting and other strategies.
Yes. You know, we've got some mutual funds that have, gone up and up and up, and we don't want to take the gain on them, but we don't want to hold them either. That was, a somewhat actual conversation about a year ago with clients. I said, why don't you gift it to the kids? You're not, in this case, I didn't say quite this nonchalantly, you're not going to use that anyway. We'd have to liquidate, you'd have to create the capital gain for yourself, Or you can give that capital gain to your children. Thank you very much. Mommy, I have to pay capital gains on that.
That's the price.
Sorry, my dear. You know, that sort of thing. Those are actual conversations here in the studio.
That's a great problem to have.
Isn't
actually.
It nice?
It really is.
You teach them so much mm-hmm. about personal responsibility. Well, I wish I would have taught them more. You know, whatever it is. But isn't that amazing? You've got a stock that's appreciated, is paying a great dividend, but you really don't need the dividend. Who's that? It does happen. Maybe it's a growth company. You say, you know, I'd like Jane, the daughter, who's 32, to inherit that stock right now. If that's the case, you can gift, let's say, 100 shares of that NVIDIA. See, that'd be worth about, well, it's NVIDIA, about 145, we'll call it today, about $14,500. Thank you very much.
Hello.
Not bad. She, in this case, Jane, takes that stock. She gets it from you in her own brokerage account. Let's say your cost basis is infinitesimally small, $2,500. That could easily be the case. She then pays the gain. Let's say it's worth $14,500. Isn't that what we decided? So the difference between $14,500 and $2,500, can we say, is about $12,000. Okay. Mm-hmm. Given that's reality, she then has to pay the capital gain on it, but at her tax bracket. But she only has to pay that if she decides to liquidate. What if she keeps it? There's no capital gain tax on that at all. Any tax rate on that at all? No, it's a gift. Mm-hmm. Well, can the parents do that? Is there any tax for them? No. Any reporting? No. Right on all counts. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So that's just one way that that's happening out there. So you can teach those children something new.
In theory.
In theory.
So it's just one example of what's going on. And then many boomers are already handing down assets to younger generations. They're not waiting to die to pass the money on. Excuse me. And I think a lot of that explains why the consumer has been so resilient in the face of a tightening of monetary policy. I think it also explains why the labor market's been so strong. When you look at the areas of strength in the labor market, you see that we have record unemployment, rather, in hospitality, leisure, restaurants, motels, hotels, airlines. All have record high employment and continue to gain employment. Well, that's the baby boomers who are retiring or are retired. See you later, alligator. They're going on cruises.
Having a good time.
Mm-hmm. They're traveling. They're having a good time. Did you read this before? Yeah, that's not fair. What else do we know in terms of employment? We know that healthcare employment is at an all-time high. Again, clearly, the baby boomers. So, Ron, if you go onto YouTube. There's a great YouTube video. Healthcare robot created in Austin. Created in Austin. And it's how these robots are assisting the nurses now with the more rudimentary tasks that they don't necessarily have time or the inclination to do, like carrying stuff around, you know, that sort of thing, the menial tasks. Ron just pulled it up. That's not it.
That's the ad.
Sorry, thanks.
Robots aren't coming.
Here we go.
Here.
That's it.
An Austin company has deployed robots in dozens of hospitals nationwide, and this is only the beginning. They're freeing up nurses and healthcare providers so they can focus on patient care. Check this out.
Hello.
Say hello to the future of human-robot collaboration. This is Moxie, a robot.
And uses all these sensors. It's got LiDAR and cameras to navigate around.
Built by Austin-based Diligent Robotics. Andrea Tomas is the co-founder and CEO.
So Diligent Robotics is really bringing robots into work with teams of people, creating teammate robots that take on work that those teams of people don't want to do.
Right now, Moxie is in more than 30 hospitals nationwide, working with healthcare providers by taking menial tasks from nurses to enhance patient care.
So we are really helping hospitals, we like to say.
So you can't see that, but you can hear that. But it looks like kind of like R2-D2, but a little more refined there, a little plastic robot.
Kind of cute. A little taller than R2.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It doesn't make a ton of sense.
Distant relative.
Because they go on to talk about the healthcare industry and how they're having trouble getting enough employees to do these things. Well, if it's doing the rudimentary, the menial tasks, if you will, it allows nurses to spend more time with their patients, of course. So they're taking on a lot of those tasks that people don't really want to do, and it doesn't make sense. So it goes on to say Ed Giardini also sees AI and technology as bullish. That's almost a no-brainer. Among other benefits, they'll solve the labor shortage. I think we're in a digital revolution. A few centuries ago, we had the agricultural revolution and then the industrial revolution. I think that AI is, in fact, going to continue the digital revolution, and it'll give us more and more power to increase productivity with this technology. Well, power is having to be answered by what these companies buying now, nuclear power plants.
Yes.
To help them keep the amount of power and or grow the amount of power that they're going to need to build all of this technology. Yeah. It's amazing. He says, I looked at all of that in 2019 and I asked, well, where is this all going to lead? Thinking 10 years out to 2019 rather, before the 2020 started, I started arguing that it could be the roaring 20s, that as we look at the decade ahead, we know we've got a shortage of labor on a worldwide basis. We know that we've got a significant shortage of skilled workers on a worldwide basis. And we know there are technological innovations that can help solve the problem of a shortage of skilled workers. And then they go on to say, he thinks the stock market is looking past that, past the tariff issue, and more toward higher earnings in 26, just next year. We're already looking at higher earnings in 25. Earnings have been relatively stable and slowly increasing. Most of the companies have overshot their estimated earnings. I think the last number was at about 70%, but don't quote me on that one. Even a debt crisis doesn't faze him. Ed thinks a crisis that forces politicians to take real action would be disruptive, but also unleash a better future. So the overall view on this market is, you know, anything negative can happen at any point in time, but it still looks relatively good for the future, given technology, the spending reality, the wealth reality of the baby boomer generation, spending it, putting it into the economy, and if tax rates do come down, as they say they may well, that, of course, puts more money into the economy, too.
Come down more from where they are now? Or I thought they're just extending these, aren't they?
They're extending these, but I'm talking about taxes on tips, on Social Security benefits. There are going to be some significant tax cuts in this package if it passes. Given that reality, guess what? It tends to flow back in.
Well, and it's so fascinating to think about that with the developments and digital and the robots and all that. But thinking about, like they pointed out in this article that I don't see talked about a lot, is that baby boomer generation, how as they've matured over time, the impact that they've had on industry, on the economy, now on retirement and all these different sectors. It's really interesting to watch because the number of people in that generation, mm-hmm. that impact, and the tentacles that go out from that.
Yeah, education, they scrambled to get enough elementary schools when all of us baby boomers were heading through. You know, we didn't really realize it because we're kids, obviously, at the time, but then housing, education, higher education, all of it. So it only makes sense that the baby boom generation is going to have an amazingly positive impact on this overall economy. As they spend more, put more money back into the economy, they look at ways to pass it on to children and to even charities. It's an expanding world there, and the net worth, the numbers there are stunning in terms of real value that they bring. They bring a, as Ben Franklin might have said, a big purse indeed. So do we have a question?
We do have somebody on the telephone line we will get to. It is Tommy calling from Douglas Lake, a beautiful lake in Emmett County.
Oh, great.
Home of the Douglas Lake Inn.
Nice.
Hello, Tommy.
Hey, Ron. Hey, good morning, Mr. Prout.
Good morning, Tommy.
I was curious about this AI. What kind of positions are you positioning yourself in to take advantage of it in your client portfolio? Are you doing the ETFs or mutual funds or individual companies? And if so, which ones?
Well, it just depends on the client. It's interesting you ask. Many growth funds will own companies that are in that sector. They tend to be more well-known, such as Meta, Apple, mm-hmm. Google, NVIDIA, Palantir, mm-hmm. Palantir, however you want to pronounce it. Mm-hmm. But there are a variety of companies that participate in that sector. Obviously, you have to be aware of the significant valuations that you see on that in terms of PE ratios and all the rest, but mm-hmm. also the volatility that occurs when bad news happens. Mm-hmm. They tend to go down in value, of course, which I have to say on the radio. So there are significant leaders in that industry. In terms of data processing and all the rest, there is going to be a tremendous amount of demand because of the increasing capacity, which I bet you're referencing, not really saying it yet, mm-hmm. the incredible need for computing power it's just amazing. The chip demand, the power demand, all the rest of it, given the increasing sophistication of these products that are coming out. Okay?
Yeah. Is your philosophy on small cap or medium cap, is that pretty conservative as far as not doing that?
I love what Charlie Munger said. I'm going to generalize on this, okay?
Okay.
Charlie Munger, Warren Buffett's former partner, absolutely brilliant. What did he say about buying companies that are too cheap? He said, don't buy companies that are cheaply priced and more moderate or poor operators.
Right.
Buy great companies at a good price. You'll never regret that in general, okay? Great companies at a good price. A great example of that was they bought Apple at a PE of less than 15 when they bought it. And they bought millions of shares back in the day. Mm. All right?
Got it. Thanks a lot.
Hey, you're welcome, sir.
Good job.
Great question.
Thank you, Tommy.
See, I'm telling you, Ron, it's amazing out there, isn't it? We're all trying to figure this out. Mm-hmm. And, good advice can be very helpful.
Lots of potential.
Oh, you betcha. By the way, we're taking a bit longer at the break because we were talking about some of the impacts of the current economy and the tariffs themselves. They were talking about this on Maria Bartiromo here this morning. Quite interesting on Fox Business that the revenues are starting to flow in, but apparently the CBO has come out and said they're expecting those revenues to be rather significant compared to the cost of the recent tax package.
They say the CBO, the tariffs enacted between January and May of this year would reduce federal deficits by $2.8 trillion over the next decade, more than enough to offset the $2.4 trillion the CBO says would be added by adding the tax cuts.
The tax cuts from 2017. The tax cuts and revenue reconciliation. What is it? TCJA? Was that what it was?
Yeah, Tax and Jobs Act.
Tax Cuts and Jobs Act.
Oh, Tax Cuts and Jobs
Act. Yeah.
Of 2017, I think.
TCJA.
Now, the next happy subject we get to discuss, Ron.
Yes.
Heidi's going to cover.
It's not that happy. I'm sorry about that, but it's important.
Is it ever important? And I'm glad we're discussing it. And I agreed to it after all.
Yes.
Because this was a presentation given by Shannon Evans, a fantastic estate planning attorney out of L.A. that has presented many times in front of the Slot Organization, Incapacity Emergency Checklist. And no one likes to think about this, but it is a reality. So, Heidi, please.
And we are planners, after all.
That's right.
It's proactive planning for when it matters most. And this is underlined, bold, exclamation point, before a crisis. So these are things that we can be proactive in doing, which may help mitigate some of that anxiety and some of the problems you might go through in a health crisis. If someone is facing dementia, or I'm going to let Dennis say this word because I have trouble pronouncing
Alzheimer's.
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 Yeah. Alzheimer's. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
a mouthful. You bet.
So if a loved one is in the hospital, usually the closest family members are at the bedside, but you're not really thinking about some of the issues that may come up or some of the things you may have to do on behalf of that person. So we have a checklist that will help you get that important information put together. Maybe you can put it in an envelope or something, and if it's needed, you can pull it out. So one of the first things they say is to have a copy of the person's driver's license, ID cards, social security cards, Medicare cards. Have those available so you're able to ask those questions and get help for the person as they're going through some kind of crisis.
It's interesting to give perhaps more heed to this. Tuesday evening, I hit a deer with my car out on Torch Lake. I mean, it was there. Bam! I had no chance to respond.
The deer won.
The deer won. The first question the police asked, why didn't you call 911? Well, I said I hit a deer. I didn't want to bug you guys. Well, we still need to hear from you. Yeah? I mean, I didn't even know I was supposed to call them. Yes, we need you to call when that happens. Now, it's interesting when they ask you, because they ask you with all seriousness, not accusing or anything, but what we can learn when we go through that process. And so I got to talk to them, the insurance agent, and, you know, the folks at Subaru and all the rest. It's very interesting, the people you get to meet when this stuff happens. So trying to anticipate this beforehand, this can be extremely helpful. Mm-hmm. Go for it.
All right. So some other things that you might want to gather are copies of medical and financial powers of attorney, or POA. Now, medical POA and financial POA are two totally different things, right, Dennis?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Very different things. Medical powers of attorney and financial powers of attorney, not the same.
And so you want to make sure that you have the powers vested in that power of attorney that you want people to be able to handle on your behalf in the midst of a crisis.
Now, the chance of a disability or something like this is much greater than the chance of you dying. Thank you so much. So remember, if you fall and hit your head, you're out of it for some reason, you get ill, the chances, again, are much greater. So make certain that you get these powers of attorney done as a part of your overall estate plan. They are critical documents.
And I always recommend to people when they talk to me about this, especially if you're traveling overseas. Mm-hmm. I've just had example of people having accidents, getting sick, maybe being in a car accident overseas, and trying to get the proper funds to the person so they can get medical care or their insurance information to them. It's critical to have this information available to someone that you trust that can help you with this, because the complexity just increases if you're out of the country.
Mm-hmm. Great point.
So another items that they recommend be in this store
dossier.
Of documents.
Toolbox.
Yes, the dossier. copies of bank statements and investment statements. If you want to have those available, so if they need resources, bank accounts, if they need funds to get them taken care of, if you need medical care or anything like that and you need funds to help you in that situation, the person needs to know where they can go to get those funds and how they can access that.
So, those are some great points in terms of thinking about, oh, yes, we need to know or have the details. Now, you also had that Prout Planner.
Yes.
Or were you ready to introduce that concept?
I wasn't, but I can pivot.
Because I think that's a great adjunct to think about in terms of the statements. But yes,
yes.
Go there if you would.
I will. Dennis and I have been training with EdSlot for decades now. Yes. And we learn some good habits to have. And one thing, we came back one time and we're like, you know, let's help our clients with these kinds of situations. So we put together what's called the Prout Planner. And the Prout Planner can be used to go over, like, what do you have? Do you? It has a place to list all of those documents. What kind of documents? Do you have power of attorney? Do you have a safety deposit box? What property do you own? And it's paper and pen or paper and pencil, so you can change things. You don't have to have a passcode to get into it. But you could put this in your desk in a locked drawer, and then this could be the starting point for that person that's trying to help you out in a crisis. And it has been pretty effective. Our clients love it. We even have a section for passwords. We've seen this time and again where so much of our communication is only by email, and they may be contacting maybe your insurance group or your IRA custodian, and they're responding to you by email because that's your preferred method of communication. But if you don't have the password to get into that person's email, you're missing half of the conversation.
Yeah, and it's if it's a three-step confirmation, you can see where you're going to wind up in the weeds on that one and not be able to get in where you may need to, given the parent's situation, their financial situation. Okay.
So these are available at our office. If you're interested in this, you can give the office a call, and we can make sure that you get one of these. Other things that you can have in those important documents are copies of your will and trust. And I was telling Dennis this morning, you know, you think about it and you're like, oh, I think it's in the attic. I think. So you want to know where it is. It has to be available so people can find it, not just you find it.
Can you have all those available digitally, perhaps?
You can.
Like on your phone or your device, right?
Right. And as long as
your spouse could have all that, or?
Yep. Yeah. And as long as you have a way for that person to access that digital file, of course. It won't do them any good if they don't have a password or something.
Right. Yeah. It's like that coffee can hidden out back. What is it? 8 feet to the right and 2 feet to the left or whatever. And how deep was that?
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Sometimes, not all the time, many times, I'll just say no. Sometimes clients discount the amount of knowledge and information that they've gained and gleaned over the years. And they think their children, given that they're in the digital revolution, have gotten all this somehow passed down to them in terms of knowledge. And we have found many times that the children don't know nearly as much about your situation as you previously thought, and or the particular instruments, the financial instruments that you've taken advantage of. So helping them get along that, another part of this, is introduce your children to your financial advisor. That's why we have these beneficiary meetings. It is so sensible. They become then much more attuned to your situation, who these people are, given that the worst happens, at least then your financial advisor knows who one or more of your children are. So you can, in this case, let's say, come into the office. Well, mom just fell and hit her head. Whatever it is, you know, not a happy conversation, but at least then they know you. We know you. So that we can answer those questions and help them get through what could be a tough situation.
Indeed. And another area that they suggest on this list is check your deeds, your property, your real estate. How is the deed recorded? Is it just in one person's name? Do you have it jointly? Life changes over time. In real estate, we tend to hold for a long time. And just go back and make sure it's what you want, and that the deed is properly titled for who should be on it.
Right. Now, what this may seem like digging into the cobwebs, the deed, what, you know, the real estate deed, we did that back in 1955. What difference does that make? Well, it's between yourself and now a deceased spouse. Oh, yeah, she did pass away. Whatever it is. So you see how that things change over time. And then what's the ownership? Is it in joint tenancy? Is it in a trust? Does the deed reflect that change that you thought you took care of? Mm-hmm. You know, you shut off the water, but you didn't really shut off the water, you know, whatever it is. So the simplest things can become much more complex when this goes down.
And hopefully none of us ever need this. Mm-hmm. But just knowing life and dealing with the situations we do at our firm, we know these things do happen.
They
do. So it helps to be prepared. It makes things easier to take away that little bit of anxiety that's caused in that frustration of where's this, what's that, I don't know where to go for this. Take that part away. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll make it a little less stressful.
You bet.
One question and one point.
Sure.
From text messages. One of the reasons, Dennis, you need to make a police report when you hit a deer is when you take your vehicle to a repair shop, they need to know it's animal blood, not human. True story from my experience.
Ooh.
Wow.
So,
honestly, Ron, when the state police came to meet me.
What did you call them? Direct? You didn't use
call? I called four different numbers to finally get the state police there because we went round and round about who was going to give me a police report because I hadn't reported it when it happened.
Yeah.
So, because they want to make sure it's a real accident. But I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to anyway. Those guys were so sharp. They were striking. And it made me proud. It really did. The troopers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just really sharp, smart people. So kudos to them. I'll just say it. Yes.
Here's your question. Is the Prout Planner available to non-clients?
Yes. You can simply call our office. Melissa, they've been made aware that we may get some phone calls. It's a phenomenal piece. It's a thick booklet, but you'll be able to use it in all of your own personal situation. It's completely personal to you. It's called the Prout Planner, and we're happy to let anyone use it. It's that valuable. We took some real time about, 8-10 years ago now?
Trying to go through every aspect that we could think of. And you may not have something for every section, but we try to make sure that we jog your memory, and hopefully you won't forget.
You bet. Yeah, it's a phenomenal piece. So
also,
call our office, 231-947-3992.
Yes, 947-3992. Good idea to have all the important stuff in print, as there's always a chance tech crashes.
Mm-hmm.
And they say include non-financial stuff like your household info, accounts, procedures, contacts for plumbers, etc. Important stuff like water shutoff and so on.
That's
another,
great.
More tips there.
You bet. Love it. I remember Mom writing our names on the back of anything that we wanted as a part of the estate, and her looking at me and saying, well, Dennis, do you want anything? It's hard not to feel somewhat uncomfortable, but there was a picture that I had bought at an auction. I probably told this story before. It's a woman milking a cow. Now, this is back in the previous century, and she's shooting the stream of milk directly into a child's mouth. It's crazy. But, I had to have that. And so I said, Mom, if you don't mind, can you write my name on the back? Now it sits in my office. It's down in the corner. I don't have the guts to put it up on the wall.
That might be more of a corner piece.
Rather an important, probably not a good health code these days. But it just harkens back to a previous time. And I wanted to have it. She put my name on it, and there was no question in the estate years later. So it does make a difference. Let's go to stats, please. Beth Shire.
Yes, sir. ADP jobs report was in, and 37,000 jobs were reported in May, were added in May, excuse me. And what does that mean? That is the lowest level of hiring since March of 2023.
And they said it was a bit disappointing.
Yeah, Wall Street was expecting 110,000.
Mm-hmm. You'd think they'd almost cut interest rates at some point, you know?
Right.
What the heck?
That's from Market Briefs. And international visits to the U.S. fell by 14% in March of this year. Visits from Canada declined by 26%, our neighbors to the north. While travel from Western Europe fell by 17%, which is the first decline since 2021. The U.S. Travel Association estimates that every 1% drop in international travel equates to $1.8 billion in lost revenue.
Hmm.
That's from the Travel Association.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the magic number to retire has decreased. Oh, excuse me. The magic number to retire has decreased by $200,000 to 1.26 million for 2025. Excuse me. Thank you, Dennis. It's a little hard to see over here in the dark corner. I apologize.
Sorry about that.
And that's according to a study by Western Mutual. However, the average 401k balance was $123,000 in Q4 of last year.
$132,000, the average 401k balance.
But some of those might be like brand new, right? Like just starting?
Yeah, that's the average balance.
So that's not at retirement.
Right. Hopefully it's a lot more than that. Generally think about, in terms of withdrawal strategy, do you have a retirement income strategy? How are we going to draw income from this? What's going to make the most sense? Are we going to have enough? If we're not, what do we need to do about it? That's planning. For all new clients who do come on with us, we now require that they do a financial plan. That's just part of us bringing you on so that you know, do I have an income situation or do I have a tax situation? What if I want to continue to grow it? What do we look at in terms of perhaps giving in the future? How do we extend what we're doing beyond what we may have thought possible? It's interesting what the inputs, or rather the inputs you might get in those kinds of conversations. That's what we love to do. So, am I diversified properly? How do I make this last? Maybe one part of it. Another part is, what happens if we encounter issues we hadn't thought about? Long-term care, whatever. The other one is, I want to grow this as responsibly as I can. How do we do that? Whatever those conversations are, those are the financial and real-life situations we love to be involved in, and that gives us energy for being in this industry. It is amazing to be a part of. How much time, Ron?
Two.
So Heidi and I attended a conference, and I've mentioned this conversation we had with one of the advisors. By the way, were you done, Beth? I just took over that conversation.
That's quite all right. All right. That was good information. Good. Thank you.
So there was an advisor, two advisors there, giving a presentation. And he was as earnest as he could be. He said, If I would choose any industry right now to be in, it would be the financial advisor industry because of the incredible sea changes. And he's just speaking, this is intra-industry conversation. The sea change that's occurring as people are aging, they're trying to figure out their retirements. They're trying to figure out when, how, and how much. They're also trying to figure out, well, I just got this IRA from granddad, and I've got a tax problem now. Nice problem to have, but it's a tax problem nonetheless. So these opportunities that you have may include issues with them. Given those issues, that's where we'd love to weigh in. That's why we've been, as Heidi mentioned earlier, in this Ed Slott organization forever. They are giving us tax information that you're usually not going to get anywhere else. So these kinds of places for us to weigh in on, again, give us energy, but the opportunity for you to make a difference in your life has never been greater if you're seeking what we think is great advice. Seek great advice no matter where you're at. You really can make a difference over time. Utilize properly and understanding the risks as well as the cost. That's all disclosed in our conversations with you. Okay?
And you don't have to wait until you're about to retire. In fact, it's even more effective if you come years
ago. Make that early, as you would in Medicare. Make the retirement conversation happen earlier.
All right, we'll wrap it up. Prout Financial Design's New Retirement Radio. Thank you very much, Dennis Prout, Heidi Cartwright, Beth Shire.